Good morning, everyone. Please take your phone out, if you have one, and create in your contact this phone number. I call it South Campus Landline or Q&A. What this does is you get to send in questions about the message that you're going to hear today, okay? Whether for clarification or, hey, I heard A, how about B and C? So this is kind of an interactive time. Now, phones, technology, they're all gifts from God. So I only ask that you don't do your personal stuff. That will be not cool. What will be cool is we get to use these devices to interact and learn more deeply in terms of the teaching today. Okay, so get that number and send it in. By the way, when you send your questions in, we don't know, I don't know, no one knows that it's coming from you. And that's by design. Therefore, feel free to be candid and honest with your questions. That's the whole point. So this will happen following the song response. For the last 2+ weeks, I've been preparing the message for this morning, which is from the book of Jonah, on the theme of God's love sends us into the city. Now, yesterday, this doesn't happen often, but this has happened yesterday, I felt the conviction after talking with other people in this past week, but also the inner promptings, I want to say, of the Holy Spirit in my own heart, that I've changed the topic. I get your attention. We will not be hearing from the book of Jonah. We'll be hearing something else. The topic today is joy. What is joy? What difference does joy make in our life? And how do we receive this joy? And how does joy transform us? I have talked to a number of you, and some of you said, you know, would you pray for me? I used to have joy, but now it has diminished or it's absent. I want that joy. I need that joy. So would you please pray for me? Others of you said, I do a lot for the church, a lot for God, but you know what's lacking in my life? What's lacking in my life is, in addition to feeling tired, overstretched, and overworked, I'm really feeling that my tank is depleted. There's little joy left in what I'm doing and how I'm feeling. Okay? Not only is joy relevant to us here, but it's something that we all want. Who among us does not want joy in his life, in our life? Who among your friends and family members and your neighbors and colleagues, who does not want joy in their life? Because joy is a very important thing. Okay? Is someone behind me? I feel something behind me. Okay? Now, to be technical, this is a working definition, all right? Okay? Now, here's the difference between happy and joyful. Those two aren't the same thing. Happiness and joy are different things. Now, for the sake of this morning's topic and conversation, I just came up with a working definition. So humor me, okay? This is not the end in all. This is not the most comprehensive definition, but this is a working definition. As I study God's Word, as I go into the Bible, here's what I find in terms of the differences between happiness and joy. Happiness is determined and defined by what happens to you externally. It's something that occurs in your surrounding, and therefore you feel happy. It's an emotion, it's a reaction, it's a good thing. We all want happiness. I remember one time, this is many years ago, back in 1981, before my family immigrated to the U.S., my parents took me and my two siblings, older brother and younger sister, out of school, and that was fantastic. We stopped going to school for 2 months before leaving Korea and moving to the U.S. That was fantastic. No more school. In addition, our family went on a long vacations. I remember this, back in 1981. This is back in Korea, too. We flew from Seoul to the Jeju Island. That was a big deal to us back then, in 1981. Going on a family vacation, on a plane. Are you kidding me? It was fantastic. And one day, as we were going for a ride in this boat, I remember looking at the sky. It was blue. There was maybe one or two spots of cloud. And as we were experiencing this beautiful, majestic scenery of the South Sea in the Korean Peninsula, and I saw my family in the boat, and we were having a great time, and I think they were serving lunch too in the boat. And I remember saying to myself, hey, this is life. I actually felt and experienced happiness at the moment. I remember that. I said, so this is what happiness is about. You know, I feel happy. I said that because of what was happening in my surrounding. Family was there. No more school. We just flew in an airplane. We're eating great food. Fantastic. Things are great. Therefore, I felt happy. It's happiness is defined by what happens around me. Okay? You may disagree, but that's my working definition. Joy is entirely something different. Now, in the Bible, did you know, Bible seldom mentions about the word happiness. It doesn't. But it does talk about joy lots and lots of times. Rejoice, be joyful, be joy-filled, rejoice in God. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Joy, 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 all the time. Joy, 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 joy. But not a mention of happiness. Okay? Now, I believe joy is a gift from God. It's something that happens outside of you. It's not bound by what happens around you. It is given to you as a gift from God, and it is embedded in you, implanted in you. It's from the inside out. So when you have joy, this joy transcends and trumps over what happens or what may happen in your surroundings. So for example, you could be unhappy because your health is not good. Isn't it true? When your health is not good, you are unhappy? Yes. You are unhappy when your children are not doing well. That's true of any parent. You're not happy because you're financially and career-wise, you are struggling, you are unhappy. However, if you have received this gift from God called something called joy, you may be joyful in the midst of unhappiness. You may be joy-filled as you face hardship and challenges in your life. Happiness is temporal. Happiness is a good thing. We all want it. But just by happiness itself, it is incomplete and it is fading away. You know, back in the university, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I spent 5 years graduating from the university. And I remember saying, you know, I'll be happy if I could just decide on a major. Just find out what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'll be happy. Okay? But somehow I decided on the major of psychology because it was interesting. I wasn't good with math or science, so by the process of elimination, I ruled those things out. So I just stuck with psychology. And for the first 3 weeks after that decision, I was really happy. I said, yes, I know what I'm supposed to do. But after 3 weeks, it was like, this is it? Then I thought, you know what? Maybe if I drive a cool car, that will make me happy. So I worked, I saved money, and it was really a cool car. Volkswagen Scirocco 16 valve. I like mine black, Okay, it's got the sunroof, and I installed Alpine sound system, the speakers, and it was so cool. And I really enjoyed that car. I loved it for about 3 weeks. And then after that, it was okay, but it just faded out. Then I thought, you know what? Maybe if I could get a girlfriend, I'll be happy. So somehow, I don't know how this happened, somehow I managed to find a girlfriend. And after about 3 weeks, see, I think happiness is something that we all desire. I do. But happiness by itself alone, without joy, I think it's going to fade. I think it's a temporal happiness. It won't last and it won't satisfy you. What we want is, in addition to happiness, joy that is welling up from the inside, like a spring, like something that has power and influence over us and in us. So when we have joy, then the happiness becomes even more magnified. It's even happier because we have joy to start with. And for those of you who are yet not Christians, this is one reason you should consider Jesus Christ. Because this joy thing is, as I said, it's a gift. You don't produce it. You don't fabricate it. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It's a gift. It is given to you, and you receive it. And when you have it, it has a power to transform and change your life and your worldview. However, having this said, here's the trouble. How do we navigate the reality and the experience of, you know, life is hard? Life is not filled with happiness, but instead, oftentimes, life is filled with disappointments, disillusionments, and feeling of empty and thirsty. If you haven't felt that way yet, stick around. Give yourselves 15 minutes or 15 months. It will change. Now, whether you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, or not, life is hard. Is it not? Life does not become easier if you follow Jesus Christ. It doesn't. In fact, Jesus never promises you, if you follow me, I'll make your life easy. He never says that. You know what he says? You follow me, life will still be hard, but I'll give you joy. And with my joy, you will overcome and you will make something good out of your broken life. That's the promise. Let me repeat that. Jesus never promises that life will be easier. But he does promise, in the midst of suffering, hardship, and all your broken stuff and junk, he says, I'll give you joy. And with that joy, you will overcome and you will conquer and you have a choice over what you face. So I want to make an appeal to you all. Now, I'm preaching to myself, okay? Because when I changed my sermon message yesterday, that only has happened, you know, you don't change what you're going to talk about tomorrow, the day before. You don't. I think I've only done that maybe less than 3 times in 25 years of preaching. Okay. However, I feel so convicted because one reason was this. I asked myself, hey man, how full is your joy tank, Victor? I put the question on me. Am I exuding joy, which is a divine characteristic? When people see me in the last, I don't know, you know, since January, will people say, well, there's a man of joy? You know what? My honest response was, I wasn't sure what you'd have said about my joy tank. Here's a confession. My joy tank is not full. It's not. I hope it's half full. But I pray by the end of today, it will be full. Amen. That's my prayer. And then here's my prayer for you. As I look around, not knowing everything that's going on in your life, and many of you, I have no idea what's happening in your life. But this I know. If you have your joy tank full and overflowing at the brim, okay, it will be so manifestive. It will be so obvious. It will be so, you know, have you seen a woman who just got engaged? You didn't know that's what happened, but you see a woman and you go, hey girl, something happened. You look different, right? And therefore, if you are a person of joy by the power of God's Holy Spirit, then it will be so obvious. They will say, at the restaurant, I don't know what he's having, but I'll have his. Something's different. Okay? You are overworked, tired, fatigued. You're doing God's work. You will be fatigued if you don't have joy in you. Now, when we serve God, we all do, because that's what we do. Jesus served us, therefore we want to serve him, we want to serve others. We have a mission to accomplish, and therefore we serve. We invest our time and talents and treasure. But when you do that, here, it's a sacrifice. Whenever you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else. When you say yes to yes, I'll come and do the setup, you are saying no to your sleep. You are saying no to, hey, sleeping in or coming in here late. When you say yes to serving on the praise team, you're always saying no to something else. So it is a cost, and it's a sacrifice on your part. However, when you have joy, at the end of your serving, guess what? Even though you feel tired, you have this joy that overtrumps and transcends your life. Okay, here's the theme and the goal sentence. It'll be up on the screen. We are going to utilize Instagram opportunity and communication to reach more people. So here is an attempt at that. Okay, I hope you like my flowers. I worked really hard at that. If you like them, I will tell you I didn't do it. If you don't like it, yes, I did it. Anyhow, here we go. I find joy in every day, not because life is good, but Jesus is. I choose to find joy every day, not because life is good or easy or happy, but Jesus is good. In spite of what I'm experiencing in my surroundings, in my circumstances, life is coming undone. I'm not healthy. My wife is not doing well. My career is ruined. My wife left me. My children are doing so poorly. And I am single. I'm married. I wish I were unmarried. Can't do anything about that. In spite of all those things, you can find joy in every day, not because life is good, but Jesus is. Let's take it from the Bible. This is from the book of Philippians, also known as the letter about joy. There is no other book in the Bible that talks more about joy than the book of Philippians. What is interesting is the author is the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, before he became a follower of Christ, he was a skeptic. In fact, he was a persecutor of Christians. He thought all the Christians were out to lunch, and he persecuted them with zeal and passion. Christ appeared before him. There was a conversion experience. So this person, who was Saul, now became Paul, and he said, Lord Jesus, you are the real deal, and I am going to tell everyone that you are alive, and in you, and only in you, there's meaning, purpose, and joy in our life. So he went around telling everyone that Jesus is alive, and for that he was being persecuted. So when he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he wrote that in a prison in Rome. So you hear references like, I am in chains. He was literally in chains, in shackles. He will say things like, I am cold, because he was in the dungeon below the ground level, so he was cold. He's asking for cloak, because he's cold, and he's alone, and he's all by himself, and yet, this is what he writes. Chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Something bad happened to him, but something good came about. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You see the reference again? He is actually incarcerated. He's got shackles. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they're all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. They were inspired by Paul's example, so they began telling other people about Jesus Christ with confidence. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I, what? Rejoice. That key verse again, okay? Rejoice, joy, rejoicing, they will reappear. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, something bad happened, will turn out for my own deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let's read verse 21 together. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. One more time. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He's saying, I rather die now and be with Christ instantaneously than stay in my life on earth. But if I stay, it is better for you because God is doing something fruitful through me on your behalf. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So friends, remember this. You can find joy in every day, not because life is good, but Jesus is. You can choose. It's a volitional decision. You make a choice to find joy in every day, not because life is easy or happy, but because Jesus is good and kind. So here's the problem. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, now I want you to know that what has happened to me, okay, and he keeps referring back to that, something bad happened to me, right? Okay, but something good is happening in and through me because Christ is giving me his joy. Life is hard. Life is challenging. But wouldn't you think, if you follow Jesus and if you have served Jesus Christ, life will be easier and happier? Okay? But in fact, Jesus never promised that. What he says is this, you will never be happy with your happiness. You will never be happy with your happiness unless my joy enters, intersects your heart, and does a transformation work from the inside out. The Apostle Paul suffered much. Let me give you an example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he goes ranting here because he's trying to make a point. The opposition was saying, Paul, you have no credentials. What authority do you have to talk to us about Jesus Christ? So here's Paul's defense. So he writes, verse 22, Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. He's saying, I have credentials. Okay? Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times, I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. See, Jewish had a regulation, okay? You may punish someone, and the maximum number of whipping is 39, because at 40, one could die. So they minus one from 40, so 39 lashes. And the Apostle Paul received not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times, because he was serving Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods, and once I was pelted with stones. He was proud to say, I was stoned at least once. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. He's saying, I've been in danger ever since I followed Jesus Christ. Unhappy. I am so depressed. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have never suffered starvation because I follow Jesus Christ. But Paul has. Okay? I have been cold and naked. Verse 28. Besides everything else, I love this. I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He was overseeing all the churches. I'm overseeing only two campuses. He's overseeing the entire province, entire Roman Empire, and he is overseeing all the churches. And he's saying, I am depleted, I am stressed, I am overworked, I am fatigued, I am depressed. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast over things that show my weakness. Here's what he's saying. My life is hard, but I find joy in every day. Not because life is good, but Jesus is. So here's a contrast. How does someone like Paul, who is experiencing all this unhappiness and challenges, turmoils and brokenness, how does he experience joy? And that's his point. Throughout the book, he's saying, I am filled with joy. There's a place in Philippians where in Greek, the nuance is so compelling. He says, if I don't thank God, this joy inside of me will explode. Remember, where is he now? He is in a prison. He's cold. He's chained up. He's being treated like a criminal. And he says, nonetheless, I have this joy that's burning from within. How does that happen? How can those two things coexist? I want that. My life is broken, as is yours, but I want this joy. I want this joy. Well, let's dive in. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. This is something that we alluded to. Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Once again, verse 19, very similar thought. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Okay? He's saying something bad happened. I've been shipwrecked. I've been flogged. I've been cold. I've been starving. I've been naked. And yet, this is good for me. This is good for my deliverance, for my salvation. Friends, have you heard that term? If life throws lemon at you, make lemonade. I hate that saying. So should you. It's so not compassionate. I say, if life throws lemons at you, well, throw them back at life. Okay? And yet, Paul is saying, something bad happened. But because something bad happened, God was able to do something good out of it. So here's how you overcome your struggles and your broken, all the junk in your life and in my life. You claim their promise. Lord, my wife left me. I have much to do with that. Lord, our children turned out horribly. I take ownership in that. Okay? And yet, here's what you say. Even though bad things happened, Jesus Christ has the power and the sovereign will to some good. Not that he caused your brokenness. That's on us. But even when we do make mistakes, and we do that all the time, Jesus is so sovereign, so powerful, and he loves you so much that he will bring something good out of all that. That's how joy can take root in my heart. Look at this. I love this. So imagine this. Visualize it. Paul is in this cell in Rome. Okay? He knows he'll be there for a long time. Okay? I wonder if he knew that he would be executed. He had clues about that. Anyhow, but here's the thing. So he's chained up to the palace guard. And guess what Paul does? Guess what Paul does? He has a captive audience. What does he do? Does he talk about Oilers? Does he talk about... No, he talks to the guards about Jesus Christ. And the guards, they get converted. They say, dude, how can you be so joyful? Don't you know you are a prisoner? Don't you know you'll be executed? Don't you know you are naked and cold and no one cares about you? How is it that you are feeling this joy? So he told them. The guards get converted. So first prison ministry, right here in Rome. Something good is happening. Paul never wanted to be incarcerated. You and I, we never wanted to be in our situation of brokenness and junk. We never did. And yet, Jesus has the power to something, to turn that into something good. I find joy in every day, not because life is good, but Jesus is. Now, here's a really important aspect. The Apostle Paul says, all these things happened to my deliverance. Okay? Listen, this is kind of advanced, kind of tricky. Oftentimes, the word deliverance is translated into the word salvation. So all these bad things happen, Paul seems to say, for my salvation. Now, friends, listen. He's not saying all these bad things happened so that I will be saved. He's not saying that. He's not saying, I hope one day I will be set free. I hope one day these chains will fall off. I hope one day that I'll be a free man again. That's what he's saying. What he's saying is this. In spite of all these bad things happened, and these are being shaped, these things are shaping me to become more like Jesus. And that's what he means by salvation and deliverance. I am becoming more like Jesus in my joy because of the struggles and the hardship. Imagine that. Your spouse becomes a cancer patient. Not that that's going to save us, but through that journey of challenge and difficulty, maybe God is saying, Victor, I want you to experience more of joy because of that experience. So it is to my salvation, not that I'll be saved out of all this, but that I will become more like Christ. I rejoice. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This is a key verse. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This sentence, this verse, unpacks the entire power with which Paul was able to hold on to this joy. He says, friends, I'd rather die and be with Jesus at this very moment. See, unlike all of us who say, yes, I would love to be in heaven, but I don't want to go there right now. Paul says, I want to be with Jesus. It's far better for me that I go because Jesus is my joy. He is the source of my peace. I want to be united with him. It's far better for me that I go. But he says, I'm going to choose to stay. Because if I choose to stay, it's better for you. Because God is going to do something better for you through me. And that's it right there. If Jesus becomes the source of your joy in such a way that you don't care. It doesn't matter. If you live for Jesus. And if you die, you die for Jesus. Either way, you gain. You're not losing anything. Neither way is disadvantage. You want both. Because it really doesn't matter. Jesus is the source of your joy. He identifies you. You are not who you say you are. You are not what the world says you are. You are exactly, precisely, no more, no less than what Jesus says you are. And then you are to him a child of God, whom he has adopted into the family of the Lord. So you can choose to live in joy every day, not because life is good or happy, but because Jesus is good. Okay, let me come to the conclusion. Let's land, take up the landing gear here. How does Jesus do this for you? So listen here. This is the gift part. It's a gift. He's giving it to you. At the same time, you must receive it. What good is a gift if we don't extend your hand and receive it? Okay? John 15, Jesus saying, as the Father, that God the Father, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Did you catch that? So this joy power is not something you earn or you work for. It is given to you because Jesus says, my joy will be in you and your joy, which is for me, my joy in you will be made complete. Right now, it's incomplete. It will become complete when Christ activates it, so to speak. So here's the question. What is this, the nature of this joy? Well, here's a clue. He says, it's something that my Father, God the Father, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, shared in eternity. It's something that they had, and Christ is giving it to you. What do they have? I believe this is what they had. The everlasting, eternal, perfect Father-child relationship. That is the joy. No matter what happens in this life, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. And therefore, Jesus Christ holds you in his sovereign, powerful hands. And therefore, even bad things happen to you, he will bring something good out of all that. And not only in this life, but in the one to come. So your life is secure. You find joy, happiness, and power, and meaning and purpose in your life. And therefore, what can man do to you? What can life do to you? What can sickness do to you? What can employment do to you? What can divorce do to you? What can broken children do to you? Let me look at one more place. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Check this out. For the what? For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Question. As Christ hung on that tree, bleeding, suffocating, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured all this scorn and shame. So what is that joy that was set before him? Huh? You know, my wife, when she had the first childbirth, she put this, here, I won't talk about it, I don't have her permission. Every woman in this room who had given birth to a child, you know this. It's excruciatingly painful, isn't it? How did you overcome it? You endure the pain by remembering that you are going to give birth to a life. Jesus hung on the tree, and his joy that he remembered with which he endured all this scorn and shame was you. You are his joy. You are his comfort. He says, if I don't have you, I have heaven, I have God the Father, but that will be incomplete. I want you. I love you. I want to accept you. I want better things for you in your life. You are his joy. And that's how he endured all the scorn and the shame. So when you grasp that, then his joy becomes your joy. You have this power to overcome your circumstances. Let's wrap it up. Therefore, you find joy every day, not because life is good, but Jesus is. Three applications. Altar call. Those of you who have never actively, conscientiously, boldly receive this gift Christ is giving you, let today be the day. Say in your heart, repeat after me, in your heart, if you're ready, Lord Jesus, I receive your gift of joy. I want the joy. Shape me, form me, and save me. Offer that prayer in your heart right now. Number two, all the rest of you, like me, you got junk in your life, you got sin in your life, you got brokenness in your life, you got thirst and hunger in your life. The answer is Jesus. Come to him. And actively and volitionally and willfully say, I choose to find joy every day because of Christ. Not in the absence of your junk and brokenness, but in the presence of it all. And lastly, when you follow Jesus, life is not easier, but there is joy, and because of the joy, you can submit to him. Wouldn't it be awesome to us that we, as the body of Christ here, as we receive our guests, we serve, we invest our time, but at the end of the day, with your sacrificial giving and investing, you feel tired but joyful. Amen. I pray that for you and for me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Christ, we thank you for what you had to say to us. Thank you for throwing a curveball at me. I don't enjoy that, Lord, but it was good that you did so. It was good for me personally. It's good for the church. It's good for our guests and everyone who is here. May the joy of the Lord be our strength today. And may we continually hold on to that joy and let it shape us. Help me now. Help us now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I can only take one. Okay. Here's the question. If we can only have joy when we are like Christ, and if we have to continually strive to be like Christ, which seems unattainable, then is joy attainable? You get it? Okay. Yeah. Well, see, whenever I get these questions, I am so humbled. I'm not a good communicator. Have joy. Okay. Now, here, let me try this. Did I say you're not able to earn joy? You don't work for it? It's a gift. Did you hear that? Yes? Okay, good. Okay. So you don't only experience joy when you become like Christ. That's conditional. Right? It's a gift. But I think the person is asking, once I receive the gift, how do I utilize it? Okay? So receiving the gift is one thing, but using it is another. I think that's a good way of asking the same question. Let me put it this way. Am I a child of God, or am I becoming a child of God? I am a child of God now. And am I also becoming a child of God more like Jesus? Yes, okay, so it's both an event and a process. Okay? Once you come to Christ, yes, Lord Jesus, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, I receive your joy. It's an event. You are declared a child of God. So at that point, you receive all that Christ owns. All of it. So at that point, at that event, you are able to receive the joy of Jesus Christ. It's not your joy, it's his joy given to you. So there's a change of the status, change of your identity, change of who you are. All of a sudden, it's a transformation. Boom, it's an event. So you have all the joy. At the same time, it's also an event and a process. As you walk with Jesus, okay, that maturity will help you utilize the tool more readily. Does that make sense? So you received it. It's all yours, the joy. At the same time, you got to use it. Another question is, you know, I've been a Christian all my life, but I don't experience joy. What the tool works when you work the tool. What do? You got a gift is free, but using it, that's on you. That's on you. Use the gift. How? Remind yourself, right? And that's what the sermon is all about. How do I utilize this gift of joy? So it takes shape over you, with you, in you. How about this? The rest of them, how about if I post them on Facebook group? Is that good? All right, okay.